Hi, I'm Lucia.
And I'm Nell, and this is Totally Normal About That, and this week we are not covering a specific piece of queer media. We are doing a couple of things, so we are going to be separately from this, but this week re-releasing an episode we did last fall with our friends Jeremy Greer and Marie Vigouroux. And we're also going to take this opportunity to talk about and celebrate the life of Jeremy Greer, who many of you probably know passed away in July. And so for his birthday, we are going to release a little episode where we talk about him and what he meant to us.
Yeah. Funnily enough, Marie from Carrying Wayward, our friend who also guested on that episode, posed a question in their podcast's most recent episode that was released about who fandom has brought into your life and what those people mean to you. And it was just very perfectly timed because Jeremy is definitely one of those people that was important to both Nell and I, that we connected with through fandom and through his podcasts, which, you know, were centered around his being a fan of Supernatural and other pieces of media. And he became a really important friend of ours. So we want to spend some time talking about him and just what he meant to us.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first and maybe most important thing to say is that we wouldn't have a podcast if it wasn't for Jeremy.
We literally would not
have if it wasn't for Jeremy. So when we started talking about it, starting a podcast like 2 years ago at this point, over 2 years ago, in the Carrying Wayward server, which Jeremy was a very active part of. He was always very happy to be part of that. And we were sort of kind of joking about it, about doing how there were all, you know, I was yelling about something as I tend to do. And we started talking like we could do a podcast. And he was basically the first one to jump in and be like, do it. You should do a podcast.
Yeah, he was.
And it's so funny because it's so like, to me, that moment was like, it's like a, you know, an actor coming up and saying, you know, you should really consider, you should act, you should do that, should be in a movie, because it's the same level of like, what do you mean this person who like does this is saying that I should, like, who am I compared to this guy? And I didn't really know him that well yet, but it was meaningful because he could have so easily been the kind of person who would gatekeep podcasting a little bit and not want competition or whatever, but he was like, everyone should have a podcast. Everybody should do this.
Yeah. Yeah, he exemplified what it means to be a fan of something in a way that I personally just find really beautiful and inspiring, because one thing that is so incredible about being part of a fandom and the fandom experience is when you find people who are there because they actually love the media, but also because they love the fandom community and the fandom experience and like being part of something and contributing to something. And for all that Jeremy was a podcaster, he was also a community builder. He really established a community in the Monster of the Week server and in other online spaces where he like engaged with people. And one of his passions was obviously podcasting. And as Nell said, he could have been precious about it being his thing. But he definitely wasn't. I mean, we were two people that he encouraged to podcast, but we were by far not the only people that he encouraged or supported either to get into podcasting or to continue podcasting, including several of the people that have been on this podcast, our friend Marie and Drew, obviously, with Carrying Wayward, our friend Katie with Making It Up As You Go with her podfic work, and also her and Marie covering Our Flag Means Death, and with countless other people. And it means a lot to me, not just that we were included in that, but that he was so generous just as a person with everyone.
Because the thing is, like, it wasn't just talk. Like, he wasn't just like, oh, you should do a podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, when we finally decided we were going to, and we posted about it, he was the first person to comment on it. He was the first person to be like, yes. Yeah, you are. Go. Like, he was such a hype man about it. And, like, he was like, I'll share it. Like, I'll let people know. He came and guested on our podcast when we were still right. a baby podcast. Like, even though he had every podcast at that point.
Right.
And, like, you know, was not feeling well much of the time. He took that time.
He was literally podcasting with, like, DJ Qualls and, like, meeting really cool people. I was like, oh, but you guys too.
And he, you know, he offered support and advice. Like, the first time I ever had a DM conversation with him, he DM'd me, and I, like, didn't. You see somebody DM you that you're not used to talking to, and you instantly get that, maybe this is just a me thing, you get that panic of like, oh no, I'm in trouble. because why would Jeremy Greer be DMing me about something? Like, I think I was in the Monster of the Week server at that point and hadn't been for like a super, super long time. And so I think I was like, I'm getting kicked out. I don't know what I did, but I'm definitely getting kicked out. And his first message to me was, Hayes, spelled H-E-Y-S, and then followed up immediately with, that was supposed to say Heya, so this is Heya, so this is already off to a good start. which is just such a Jeremy thing to do, of like, the immediate typo. But he was offering advice. He was like, hey, I noticed that there was this thing with like, the audio, can I give you some tips on editing audio? Which he didn't, you know, he didn't have to do that. He didn't, and he was like, you can come talk to me about this anytime you want. And I really, really regret that I did not take him up on that on more occasions. That I was sort of like, well, I don't want to bother him. Like, he's sick. He's not feeling good a lot of the time. Like, I can ask him for podcasting advice later. I can ask him after. And I didn't, at that time, sort of stopped to think that the after we would get was not the after we wanted.
Yeah. It's a really hard situation because obviously we knew that he had cancer for quite some time. He never kept that a secret and was very forthcoming about what he was going through and what he was experiencing, which he definitely didn't have to do. He didn't owe any of us that kind of personal information. But not only was he so transparent about what he was going through, he actually, like, took the opportunity to use podcasting to work through some of that stuff, which is just like, again, peak fandom experience, like using the thing that you're creating as a way to process the things that you're going through. We see it in fan fiction and fan art and everything and music, but you know, It's funny to think about that as something that people do with podcasting too. But it's true. We work through stuff by talking about it. And Jeremy talked to us And I don't just mean me and Nell, I mean, like, us, the people who listen to him. We gave him a safe audience to work stuff through with. And that's, like, a real honor that I don't think I understood or, like, appreciated mm-hmm. until recently. Like, even well after Nell and I started podcasting, do I think that I understood that, like, what that meant?
Yeah, I mean, I think, obviously, I don't know what was going on in his head, but I do think that podcasting was a place where he felt like he could still at least just kind of be normal some of the time. And that he had this community that supported him. You know, there were times where he'd be like, hey, we had to miss a week because of this or that health thing. And everyone was like, we don't care. Like, that's not
right.
What we're here for at this point. But yeah, I mean, he was someone who was just so incredibly giving of his time and his energy through podcasting, but also in various community Discord servers and individually. Like, I sometimes think I wish he had been a little more selfish with himself, but I'm also so grateful that he wasn't, because I feel like it gave me the opportunity to get to know him a lot in not a very long time. I mean, I didn't know him for more than a couple of years, and we hadn't really developed or established any kind of individual friendship until that last year or so. I don't know, friendship might, I thought of him as a friend. And
he thought of you as a friend.
Other people have sort of said he was the kind of person who, like, treated everybody like his friend. Everybody like a best friend. And it's true. He really was the kind of person who you could be in a space with and feel very much like you had his undivided attention on you. And he was, I liked to joke, I was like, listen, if it was between Jeremy and Chris and the bear, I'd choose Chris and Jeremy. And there are not a lot of straight white men I can say that about.
Oh my gosh, for real. It's so funny, because that's what actually drew me to his podcast in the first place, and ultimately, like, you know, kicked off my interacting with him as a person, is after Supernatural and, like, ended. So Jeremy and I were acquaintances and then ultimately friends, like, for about 4 years. Because after the show ended, obviously, like, everyone was looking for stuff to kind of direct their attention to. And our friend Katie, who again has guested on this podcast, and another, fandom friend that is, you know, close to me, had suggested listening to their podcast, and their sell on it was basically, yes, they are two straight white dudes, but, like, they're still really great and actually have really good opinions for straight white dudes.
Right.
And, like, it's worth listening to. And I was just like, oh, for, like, if my cool, like, queer friends are recommending this to me, I feel like I should maybe check it out and give them a shot. And I'm really glad I did. Obviously, the podcast that he and Chris did and that he did with other people, like, really mean a lot to me. But just knowing him as a person and just the interactions we had even outside of that, like, were really meaningful to me. And like Nell said, we wouldn't have a podcast without him, and it's unfathomable now to think about what my life would look like without what we're doing and without this relationship.
I know. I was thinking about that a lot earlier today, that you know, we were friends, of course, before we started podcasting. We wouldn't have podcasted together if we weren't friends or, you know, friendly. But, like,
mm-hmm.
You're coming to spend the holidays with my family. Like,
I know.
We're on a different level. We have upped our friendship level. And Jeremy's encouragement and support was one of the things that helped really get us here. He wasn't somebody who had to do all that. He was just genuinely someone who I think really loved seeing people do things they love and talk about things they love. And he really wanted to support that on so many levels. And I am, you know, one of the things that's been so hard about all of this is realizing that, like, I will continue to get to learn about him because mm-hmm. there are hundreds of hours of podcasts that I haven't listened to that are with him.
Yeah.
There are records of him in the Monster of the Week Discord server, stories people tell. There's years of me ahead of me learning about Jeremy. And I think one of the things that I found the hardest was, like, he will never learn anything more about me. And one of the things he will never learn is how much I appreciated him and looked up to him and, you know, loved everything he brought to his communities and to his interactions with people. You know, like, there were a couple times I'd reach out privately and just be like, hey, this thing happened in this recent episode of whatever podcast, and I just thought I'd give you a little feedback on that coming from someone with my background, with my perspective and my expertise. And even when, you know, he wasn't feeling well, he was always like, thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah. He was so warm. And like...
He was like a bowl of soup. Like, Jeremy is a bowl of soup of a person.
Right. Like, he was just warm and, like, open and, he really cared about people. Yeah. I knew this was going to make me emotional, but, like...
This is why
I'm really emotional about it.
Chat, I did, in fact, drink one of Jeremy's favorite drinks right before we recorded this. I housed a Crown and Ginger, so because I knew that otherwise, like, I wouldn't be able to do it.
I think I would be remiss if I didn't also mention. I know I focused on the fact that, you know, Jeremy was a podcaster and was really supportive of people who were podcasting or interested in podcasting. But by far, that is not, you know, all that he, all of the people that he supported. And that's one thing that I also really love is he was so eager to support people in their fandom pursuits, basically in any way that they engage. So
yeah,
he supported musicians and encouraged people to write music and paid to have music composed for his podcast and promoted artists, whether they wrote the music or they sang on it, and was just incredibly supportive of that. He commissioned fan art and was constantly, like, sharing just beautiful stuff that, like, I would never have seen if it wasn't for the fact that he was, you know, sharing it onto my page.
Yeah.
He was really supportive of fan fiction, despite the fact that it wasn't really his thing. And he wasn't really someone who read a lot of fan fiction. Like, somehow he ended up helping to write some really weird fan fiction and also, like, promoting a lot of funny and, like, silly fan fiction.
Although he did refuse to read some of the huge titty Merlin fan fiction allowed on the non-human biologics.
I mean, I appreciate that he wanted to try, like that he, I coward. You know, and I appreciate that he at least like. He was the kind of person who was like, just because this isn't for me doesn't mean it's not cool, or doesn't mean it's not right. valid, or doesn't mean it doesn't deserve appreciation. And with music videos and edits, you know,
yeah.
I mean, he created some really incredible ones and worked with a lot of fans to... put them together and had a real appreciation for that. And like, it's one of those things where I just like, I appreciate how passionate he was, not just about fandom, but about like, again, like building community within fandom and like supporting fans in their love and their passion for the material.
And it's so funny because I think in a lot of ways he didn't really consider himself part of fandom so much. Like, he definitely he built up this community, but so many of the episodes of Monster of the Week, he and Chris are just like, we're not really part of the fandom. We don't know what's going on.
Right.
But they built up such a community, and like, they would never have considered like going to a Supernatural convention until. There was one that was in Boston this mm-hmm. this year, and Jeremy was like, well, this is my excuse to finally meet Chris, is like, right. I'll force him to come to a Supernatural convention with me. And obviously that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Jeremy was not well enough to travel for that. But a bunch of others of us did, and, you know, that was another... I wouldn't have gone out to Boston for this con had... Chris and Jeremy not been planning on going. And so I think like there are relationships I have now that have deepened a lot because of that con
mm-hmm.
that I wouldn't have were it not for that.
You know, it's funny because that's something that I was thinking about today was the fact that, like you said, Jeremy wasn't able to go to Boston due to health reasons. And because of that, ultimately, Chris didn't go. So, but they were originally going to be there. And it's funny because there were actually so many people who may or may not have attended a Supernatural convention in general, but like weren't specifically planning to go to Boston and made that convention a priority and made a point to go. Specifically because we expected Chris and Jeremy to be there. And obviously it was a real disappointment that they couldn't come, but like people understood and still attended, because we had committed to going. But it still gets me the number of people that I had the opportunity to meet and to see that I wouldn't have seen, mm-hmm. like, I guess just to say, even in his absence, Jeremy was still bringing us together.
Can you please not?
Sorry, but it's true though.
He was really one of those people who I think was such a light and such like mm-hmm. a presence that people would flock to be around him. People who didn't necessarily have a lot in common otherwise, maybe, or people who mm-hmm. wouldn't have otherwise gotten to know each other, but he was the kind of person who just drew people to him.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Jake Lionheart, who was very close friends with Jeremy, sort of wrote a song called Easy Grace about Jeremy that I think someone in the Monster of the Week server had posted about, that Jeremy just had this sort of easy way of being as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, and that was the kind of thing that made it really easy to just exist with him. Like, mm-hmm. just very a very sort of smooth, comforting presence where mm-hmm. you just didn't even think about it too much. You felt very welcomed by him at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's hard. It's hard to know that he's gone and that, like you said, Nell, there's so much still to, potentially listen to and uncover and like learn about him, but there's still something that's really painful just about the idea that it's finite. Yeah. And he really meant a lot to us. And one of the things that's really hard about losing people, especially in fandom spaces, people that you know online but don't get to see in person or like have a face-to-face relationship with, is that when you lose them, it can be really difficult to grieve that person.
Yeah.
Because you can't participate in like traditional grieving activities the same way. Mm-hmm. And also I think for me personally, it's made me really aware of like what I had in that friendship and also like all the things that we didn't get to have.
Yeah.
It's really something I see a lot is that people avoid talking about someone when they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a totally valid way to respond to a loss, if you can't or don't want to. Sometimes it's just that it can feel uncomfortable talking about someone who's gone, because it can feel like you're reminding everyone that they're gone, or you're bringing it up when everyone else is kind of wanting to let it go. I think that for us, though, we're clearly talkers, and not talking about him is just not an option. Like, we can't not talk about him. So,
yeah, I mean, I think in those early days, it's been just over 4 months now since we lost him. We were just constantly talking about him. Like, I cried every single day for weeks and weeks and weeks. And, like, we were just always talking about him. And, like, the first time we were supposed to record after he passed away, we were going to record. We were all set up. And then we were just crying on the mic for, like, over literally an hour together. Just, like,
literally.
And finally we were like, well, we're not recording, clearly. Like, right. That's not going to happen. So, but yeah, I think, like, I felt very lucky to have you alongside me in this grieving process, because I think there are a lot of, like, grief isn't just sadness. Like, there's so many other emotions that come mm-hmm. up, you know? There's a lot of anger, and there's a lot of, you know, for me, there was a lot of, like, jealousy of seeing the relationship other people had had with him and feeling like, I'll never get that. I'll never catch up. And it's not one of those things where I begrudge those people their relationship with him so much as I feel was angry at time for taking away that opportunity, like, for that opportunity no longer being available to me.
Right.
And so I think you and I spent a lot of time talking about those things in the early days, for the first month, like, constantly. And even now, we still occasionally will have those conversations where it's like, this is a thing that's come up. Like, this past weekend, it was my 31st birthday, and my 31st birthday happened to not exactly but closely coincide with the 4-month anniversary of Jeremy passing and also the 2-month anniversary of someone else really close to me who passed away unexpectedly this fall. And I would just like, I spent the end of my birthday evening sobbing my eyes out because I was thinking about Jeremy and about my feelings about it. And part of that was just realizing that, like, you know, we're releasing this in sort of tandem with Jeremy's birthday, like, that I have gotten another year older, but he will not. And that that gap is going to shrink. Mm-hmm. And how hard that can be to grapple with. There's a song that I made a lot of people listen to when it came out. I also posted a really devastating Merlin and Arthur TikTok edit to it. It's by Alex Warren. It's called Eternity. And one of the lines is, "And it feels like an eternity since I had you here with me, since I had to learn to be someone you don't know." And I remember the first, like, snippets of that song came out right around, like, on TikTok right around when Jeremy passed away. And I was like, well, this song has ruined me forever. This is, in a real, like, it's never gonna be able to associate this with anything that's not Jeremy.
Yeah, wow, that's something for sure. We just couldn't not talk about him. You know, he meant a lot to us. I don't know. It felt really appropriate to talk about him now. Because again, it's been about 4 months since he's been gone, and that's given us some time to work through some of that. But, like Nell said, this episode is going to be coming out the day before his birthday. And of course, this is also the month when we're talking about Supernatural, so that felt apropos. It's kind of hilarious to me that his birthday falls directly between the Destiel anniversary and the finale anniversary. And, like, what more of an appropriate time to talk about Jeremy Greer than right between those two events? Because, you know, he had incredible opinions about those things, and it was a delight of my life to listen to him talk about them. So
I'm still listening to Monster of the Week. I'd never gone all the way through it. I was fairly late to that game, and in the wake of his going into hospice and passing away, I know a lot of people struggled to listen to things with his voice, but I was, like, compulsively listening to things with his voice. And so I blasted through a lot of that, but I probably never would have watched Merlin if it hadn't been for Still His Kingdom Keeps in that podcast. And I, like, live blogged my experience with that whole show in the Monster of the Week server. And that was the show that got me through the 2024 election. Was, like, listening to him and Chris, because it was just so funny. It was, like, a totally different thing. His voice is just really comforting, and it's gone on a lot of journeys with me. It's funny because Jeremy and Chris are always so derisive about runners, and I take their podcasts on runs with me all the time. So I'm like, you're doing this 5K with me, Jeremy.
Right. Yeah, I guess technically now would be 4 years that I had been listening to him and, like, connected, joined the Monster of the Week server, gotten to know him. So it was a little less than that, but and he knew this. I talked to him about it, but I was, like, working from home and stuff a lot, or, like, working in an office where I was fairly alone a lot when I started, like, binging Monster of the Week and his other work. And it was funny because it was shortly before Thanksgiving, like, within, like, a week or two of Thanksgiving in 2021, and I started listening to the podcast and immediately was like, oh, I have to, like, listen to all of this. And I realized they were coming up towards the end And I listen to all of the Monster of the Week podcast between like the week before Thanksgiving and like February, and was caught up in time for them to like talk about the finale.
Of course.
When they released it, because I was like, I need this like in my ears right now. I don't say that to brag. I just say it like, I literally was like voraciously like consuming it. Like, this is amazing. I have to have this in my ears. And it was so funny because I'm that person that once I get really excited about something, I can't keep it to myself. So like,
yep.
My sister heard about it. My best friend here in Ohio heard about it. She was just like, ah, yes, Chris and Jeremy, those random guys you listen to talk all the time. And I'm like, yeah, those guys. And this is so silly, but like, I remember when they were recording about Merlin, I posted something or responded to something they said on Tumblr with like a joke about Merlin like cooking food, and he brought it up like on the episode. And I just remember
that episode.
It was like, it was just such a silly thing, but like obviously like he thought it was funny. And here I've like had like recorded stuff for other podcasts or like talked to other people who podcast or whatever. But I remember he mentioned that, and I was like with my sister, and I was so excited. I was like,
getting a Jared mention on a podcast always felt a little bit like winning the lottery. Like, it happened to me a few times. There was one time where he and his wife Autumn were having their 20th anniversary celebration in Italy, and they went to some restaurant where they got a bunch of seafood, and there were like shrimp that still had the heads on or whatever, and he posted a photo, and my response to that was, Jeremy, your food has too many eyes. And he thought that was so funny. He brought it up on an episode of Non-Human Biologics, I think, and it was like, that's like one of the least funny things I've said. Like, right. I'm way funnier than that, way more. Like, that's very mild funny. But also when listening to Still as Kingdom Keeps, I was jump scared by myself when he brought up at one point that some weirdo in the Carrying Wayward server went way hard on what Sam did at Stanford.
You're like, oh, that was...
He didn't call me a weirdo, of course, but he was like, somebody in that server, like, there was a question of the day, and somebody went, like, really hard into it. And I was like, oh, that was definitely me.
That was me.
Which was, like, before I really knew Jeremy. Like, we had interacted in the Carrying Wayward server, but not, like... I don't think at that point I actually knew that he was that Jeremy. And so he was just a dude. Like, I didn't remember his name because his like, username in servers was not Jeremy. Was it that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, like, one of the things I realized in the wake of his death was that my life online and my life in person are, like, really intertwined because everybody I know in person knew who I was talking about. Like, I just talk about them all the time, and we actually met a new friend, and this is so funny and kind of embarrassing. Someone once asked, like, who is this person she's talking about all the time, and my best friend was like, oh, she's just really autistic and she cares a lot about her online friends. Just
like, hey, to be fair,
yes, that's correct.
I'm just saying online friendships are so valid, and I mean, I think that if you're listening to this, like, you know that, but these relationships are so valid. And I'm really lucky. I'm so lucky because not everyone gets this opportunity to meet online friends in person. I've actually made it a point to connect with and, like, meet online friends in person over the last, like, 5 years or so. And so I've gotten to meet like a number of people, which has just been amazing. But not everyone has the resources to do that. And just because you haven't met someone in person doesn't make them less important to you or less of a friend. Jeremy was a primary example of that. That was actually one of the last conversations that he and I ever had, was talking about how important he was and how he was still a friend, even though we didn't get the opportunity to see him in person.
Obviously ever meet him in person, but because of my sort of life as a student, my schedule tends to be pretty flexible. And so there were a number of times where he'd be trying to test out some tech thing in like a voice chat or a video chat, and he'd ask for people to help, and I'd be like, sure, I'll pop in or whatever. And so we would sometimes hang out that way while he'd be trying to fix things. And there was one time he was trying to do something for the Rude Eats season 2 live watch, finale live watch, so that we could all watch Mary have the worst day of her life.
True.
And he was like just playing around with stuff for a while and like not looking at the screen, but I was just watching my like the little box with my head make all these weird like, it was getting like stretched in different directions, or like really big or then really small. And at one point it was stretched in a very funny way, and he was like, okay, I think I got it. And then he looked and all he did, and he just looked at it and he went, oh no. In just like the softest voice, just a very casual like, oh no. Like that's not what I was supposed to do. And so I liked that I got those moments to just sort of hang out, because like I could do, you know, I can do my job wherever, basically. So
he was so funny, like genuinely so funny.
And not like a favorite Jeremy story.
Oh my god,
or favorite funny Jeremy thing.
Oh my god. I wouldn't even know where to begin. Like, I thought he was hilarious. And not, like, comedian hilarious, but just, like genuinely, he was just a funny person.
Like, he didn't try. He didn't have to, like, try. He was just really funny.
He said silly things all the time. I don't even know.
One of those things was that he's not a step on me kind of guy.
Yeah, that was definitely a funny series of incidents, I feel like, that occurred. I don't know. Like, I mean, like, I could sit here and retell 100 stories that he told to make people understand how cool and funny he was, but, like, I'm not gonna do that. I just, if you don't know him and you want to know, then like go listen to his podcast, and if you've listened to his podcast, then you know exactly how funny he was. He was a really cool person.
What about a favorite moment you had with him then?
Oh my god. There were a few that like immediately stand out to me. Funnily enough, one of the things that automatically jumps out is when he was helping us get started with podcasting. He was just really supportive and like really excited for us, and was very encouraging, which was really sweet. And like you said, he agreed to come guest with us. I was the one who actually like talked to him about that so we could get the logistics and everything set up. And it was really funny just in general trying to explain to him like what we were doing, because his whole thought was like, you're talking about like media through a queer lens and you want me to come talk about it as a straight guy. It was like, look, like I get that sounds dumb, but like,
yes,
we want to talk about your perspective on it as a straight guy who watched it.
You're the minority, you know, here,
right? You're the minority and you saw the deciel of it all, and the, you know, we want you to come talk to us just like about how that was and what you felt about it and whatever. And he was really open to it, and again, because we were so new and because this is a thing that we do for free and we don't have like anybody who pays to help support this, we're paying for it all out of our own pocket. No complaints, by the way, just, you know, so people understand. Our setup is like pretty basic. But he did this like all the time. That was his thing. It was his entire hobby, was to podcast. And so he like had a much better system set up and all kinds of things that he used. And so when we invited him to record, he was like, hey, can we use the system that I use? Like, I think it would work better since there's going to be four of us. By all means, sir. Yes, let's use what you want to use. That would be great. You're doing us a favor, so we're here for it. And he was so excited because it was this amazing system that never failed. And then he came on to record with us. And not once, but twice during the recording, while I was talking both times, asking him a question both times, his, like, connection failed. So then the three of us were there, and he wasn't there anymore.
Yeah, he got kicked out.
He got kicked out of his own thing twice. And he was able to get back in, and the audio was fine, and everything was okay. But it was just, it was so funny, especially listening back to it, because he edited it for us again, which was so sweet of him.
Yeah, he felt so, he was like, this audio is so choppy, I'll just deal with it. He was right. Going to send me the raw files, but then he was like, I'll just do it.
And it was so funny to me because, not at all to like diss his editing, but it's hilarious because me, as the person who was there for the conversation, listened to that podcast episode and I was like, oh, there are those two incidents where it sounds like I'm asking a question for like 30 years, but really I was asking a question. I got cut off, and then he came back and was like, okay, you were saying, what was your question? I'm like, I don't know, it's been a while, I don't remember anymore. But rather than like move on and cut it out, he was like, no, you were asking something, I want to answer you. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but that was like the funniest thing to me because he was like, this is gonna work. And then
he podcasted later in the day with Chris and it was perfect. It worked so well. Yes! I was like, so it just hates us.
Yes, it just hates us. It's homophobic or something. We don't know. But like it was just very funny because he was so excited to do it with us and then it just kept cutting him out. And worse, like, because he was podcasting, he was on a time crunch, so he's like, I want to make the most of this, and he was the one who kept getting kicked out.
He felt so bad about it. But it was honestly kind of nice to be like, oh, even the good podcasters are just
sometimes. Yes, it was. I was like, if there's one thing you can do to make us feel good about ourselves, it's struggle while you're with us. Yeah. It was also really funny because when we first got started podcasting, again, he gave us all kinds of advice and was so helpful and so supportive. But one of the pieces of advice that he gave us was basically podcasting is hard and it's a lot of work. So don't overinvest. Like, go into the mindset of, if you commit, it will tear you down. And so if you decide not to stick with it, that's fine because it's actually really hard. And like, if you really love it and you commit to it, you'll end up hating it because it's a struggle.
The editing advice he gave me was basically like, the more you learn about how to edit, the harder it's going to be and the worse it's going to be. And I was like, sir, that's really not encouraging.
Right.
No, thank you.
Right, and I remember telling him, I was like, I think it's so funny that you're basically telling me the more I love this, the more I'm going to suffer, because that's literally what I tell people about Supernatural. It's the more you love Supernatural, the more you're going to suffer. And he was like, that's exactly it. That's the same sentiment for this. He was right, too. Like,
he was right. It's also, he's also a masterclass in, oh, this actually is addictive, because it turns out that we'll have our one podcast, and now we have three, although two of them are fairly limited, and one of them we're not quite done with, but, and we're talking about doing other ones somehow,
Who even knows?
One of the things that I liked about Jeremy is that he was willing to have an inside joke with people.
Yes.
So, like, a couple years ago when they first announced, and this was maybe one of the first times that Jeremy and I had ever really, like, talked extensively. Not mm-hmm. in, like, DMs or anything, but just in a server setting. They had announced that the creation, the convention company was going to do a Supernatural convention cruise. And so mm-hmm. I popped into the Carrying Wayward server with, like, hey, this is the worst idea I've ever heard. That cruise set sail in a couple weeks, by the way. So we'll see yeah. what happens. But I was basically like, this sounds like a total nightmare, like a legal liability. Like, because this was back when they announced it. This was like a few years ago. And there was still like a lot of animosity between the sides of the Supernatural fandom. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, okay, so someone's going to get shoved off a boat.
Not to mention, like, they didn't announce
any guests.
Exactly when it was. They didn't announce any guests. Yeah,
they also used AI to produce their, like, logos and stuff like that. So it was all a mess. But basically, we were like, this sounds like a terrible idea. And so we started, and Jeremy was part of this conversation, sort of talking about, like, we're bored of what the cast has to say anyway. And so I was like, hey, what if we got all of the podcasts, the Supernatural podcasts, together and did a convention that was like a Supernatural podcast convention, and we could have really interesting panels on, like, mm-hmm. you could have one that's the John Winchester hate zone, or you could have yes. one on, like, Dean and his parentification, or like Sam and trauma associated with the lack of consent that mm-hmm. he's always trying to do. Like, it was this whole thing. And then basically someone, and I think it might have been Jeremy, was like, okay, but, like, I'm not getting on a boat. And so I think I said at that point, no, we're going to do it on a train.
Yes.
And so for those of you who have any inkling, like, he occasionally would bring it up then on other podcasts, this idea of a pod con train, or a pod train mm-hmm. con or something, where everybody would get together on a train, and it would just, and he and I conceived of this idea of, like, we'll get a train and we'll travel around the mm-hmm. the North America, the North American continent, and just pick up podcasts along the way and yes. just have a merry old time. And that was the thing that he talked about on a couple of podcasts then, like, in the last year or two, where he'd be like, mm-hmm. yeah, this is a thing. And at no point, I would like to say, did he ever give me credit for this really great idea. But I know he knows. I knew he knew it was me, because every once in a while, he would send me a message about a train
yes.
thing. Like, there was a time where Autumn found some sort of, like, B&B that was train-themed. And so he was like, she showed this to me for, he sent it to me and said, she showed this to me for a client. And I said, hey, wait, that's my thing. And I was like, no, yes. Jeremy, this is our thing. This is, like, and then when we were planning to go to Boston, he had been planning to get people together for dinner one night. And he messaged me and was like, I've been trying to find a restaurant in a train car.
I kept telling him we needed to go to a spaghetti warehouse because they have train cars in the restaurant, but I don't think that there's anywhere near where we were, and, like, it wasn't a thing.
No, he looked really hard to find. And so that was, like, the first inside joke that Jeremy had and I had that, like, other people didn't remember. Like, he would mention it sometimes, but other people didn't know the full context. And the full context is that he and I were legitimately serious about planning a mm-hmm. podcasting con on a train. Like, we talked we talked logistics.
Yes, and if anyone else is still interested in doing that, please hit us up, because we will make that happen.
We love a train.
Yeah.
We love a form of transportation you can just get off at regular stops.
Yeah. Well, we told ourselves that we would keep this short, since we're also going to be reposting the other episode, and that's hard because he was super cool and I could talk about him forever. But like I said earlier, I mean, the reason that we wanted to do this, it wasn't about us necessarily in terms of, like, reactions from people. It wasn't about, like, posting in order to get, like, attention for that or listens or anything else. It was about how we felt about him and how we needed an opportunity to talk about it and to yeah. remember him in our own way. And I want to take this opportunity to tell people that if you are the type of person like us who processes and grieves things by talking about it, and you would like someone to talk to about Jeremy and how he made you feel, and there are so many people in this community that loved him and I'm sure would love to talk to you about him. But we are here too. We definitely are here and would love to talk about him and hear more stories about him. And I know we took our opportunity to tell our stories, but we would love to hear any of your stories that you have about Jeremy. So, I mean, no obligation to anybody, but by all means, if you would like to take that opportunity to share with us, we would really appreciate it.
I mean, Jeremy was an incredibly special person who had a really big presence. Mm-hmm. And I think he deserves to be remembered in big and small, quiet ways. But he mm-hmm. definitely deserves to be celebrated and remembered. Thanks for listening to us ramble for an hour about a straight white man. I know that's not our usual way. I was really hoping it's Scorpio season, so he's at full power right now, and I was sort of really hoping that he was going to come disrupt something, but
You know what? I don't think he would, mostly because I think all of our compliments would make him really uncomfortable.
He started hearing us and he was like, "Yeah, I'm not getting anywhere near that. I'm going to go bug Chris."
Yeah, not doing that. We're going to take a break. And I can't fault him for that.
I hate being complimented, but he can't tell me to stop, so.
Right. He's not here to tell us otherwise, so we're allowed to do what we want.
Sorry, bud, who gets the last laugh?
Yeah, but I don't know. He was an amazing person, and we really appreciate him. Our lives wouldn't be the same without him. So.
Yep. All right, everybody.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
That is a podcast hosted and produced by Lucia and Mel. Are you feeling totally normal about something we talked about today? Is there a piece of media you feel totally normal about? We want to hear about it. You can find us on Twitter at @totallynormalat, or you can email us at totallynormalaboutthat@gmail.com.